The Roman Emperor Hadrian hated both Christians and Jews. And after he renamed the holy city of Jerusalem Aedia Capitolina, restricted access to the holy sites. The top of Mount Calvary was leveled, and a temple to the goddess Venus built in its place. Where the tomb of Jesus was, he constructed a temple to Jupiter. In doing so, he thought that he was burying the memory of the cross. But in reality, he actually ended up preserving it. By the year 324, Christianity had already been legalized, and a 74-year-old woman with the mind of an explorer and a will of steel decided it was time to reverse the imposed paganization and restore the sacred. The ancient writer Eusebius described this amazing lady. Especially abundant were the gifts she bestowed on the naked and unprotected poor. To some she gave money, to others an ample supply of clothing. She liberated some from imprisonment or from the bitter servitude of the mines. Others she delivered from unjust oppression, and others again she restored from exile. While, however, her character derived luster from such deeds, she was far from neglecting personal piety toward God. She might be seen continually frequenting his church, while at the same time she adorned the houses of prayer with splendid offerings, not overlooking the churches of the smallest cities. In short, this admirable woman was to be seen in simple and modest attire, mingling with the crowd of worshipers and testifying her devotion to God by a uniform course of pious conduct. St. Helena was the mother of the Emperor Constantine and had converted to Christ only a few years before. With the zeal of a new convert and the resources to further the cause, she was able to clear away the temples of false gods and start excavating based on whatever tips she and her team could get. A Jewish merchant, oddly named Judas, had the most credible clues. And then, what seemed like it might be impossible happened. Three crosses were found under a basil plant in a cistern, and a sign that said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." But which was the true cross? A leper was brought in, and the first cross touched to the body. Nothing. A second cross was touched to the body. Nothing. And the third cross was touched to the body, and the leper was instantly healed. St. Ambrose preached after the event of the woman who made it happen. She worshiped not the wood, but the King, him who hung on the wood. She burned with an earnest desire of touching the guarantee of immortality. And so, with her imperial authority, she sent small pieces of the true cross all over the known world so that there would always be a physical, concrete reminder of a spiritual and most real event. The Son of God dying to give us eternal light. And it is one of the greatest glories of our own parish church to be the custodian of one of these relics so that Jerusalem comes to Taylor's. the cross itself, and the story of the finding of the cross tells us so much. Just when it seems like all is lost, and that there is no hope, because sin and death and false religion hide the truth and the glory of the most radical act of love ever seen, an instrument of torture and execution emerges as a sign of restoration and resurrection. The paradox of the cross is a stumbling block for unbelievers and an anchor that liberates for the faithful. It is a reminder that Christianity is not an intellectual philosophy of moral behavior, how to be a good person. It is not a secret revelation that some people are privileged to be initiated into to make them special. It is not a system of man-made rites to placate gods that are cleverly designed myths meant to control and keep people in fear and subjugation. Christianity is an event. It is the life of Jesus, who existed before existence, who came in the fullness of time in the flesh and lived as one of us in all things but sin, and who lives again after death and dies no more. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Christianity is an event based on historical facts, not fuzzy fictions. An event that over and over again has seemed to die and yet still lives, and grants the grace of immortality to those who believe that love conquers all, even death itself. In 2003, the parishioners of Prince of Peace gathered to consecrate a new building to the worship of God. Right? I was there, some of you were there, some of you hadn't even been thought of yet. Right? Next weekend, we will celebrate 22 years in what we still call the new church by celebrating the anniversary of the dedication of the church at Mass. We are in the jubilee year of the entire church and the golden jubilee of our parish, which closes this December 12th with the 50th anniversary of the canonical erection of the parish. We have much to celebrate because we have much to remember and so much to look forward to. When this church was built, the philosophy guiding the architecture was the same philosophy that guided the pastoral life of the parish. Bring out of the storehouse treasures both old and new. It's not an iconoclastic building of its time, with no reference to the faith that built it or the past that undergirds it. It's not a repro of another masterpiece, derivative and lacking creativity. It's unique. There is nothing like it anywhere else in the world. And that's a beautiful gift. And it has been, and will continue to be, a work in progress. One of the things that I always found interesting was the fact that the church did not have a Christian symbol on the building anywhere. Right? In one sense, the building was the symbol. A cross itself, which is not perfectly symmetrical. Only Jesus would give an OCD priest this church, right? But much like the rough-hewn cross upon which the Savior died, an imperfect shape which God uses to perfect us in His image. But now, after 50 years of presence on this plot of land, After 22 years in this new building, God has provided us with a unique opportunity to let the power of the cross emerge from the earth and be set high upon a place so that it can remind, remand, and restore as God uses it to inspire others to say yes to his plan for their own immortality. I can't think of any better time to do this. Now, some statistics suggest that we are actually living in a world that is less violent than it ever has been before. But it certainly doesn't seem that way. Perhaps because of the 24-hour news cycle that brings close to home the brokenness of this old world. Just in the past few days, school shootings, the murder of immigrants, and political assassinations have unfolded amidst personal tragedies for members of our own parish family. And we seem to be living in one of those watershed moments that could make or break a land in need of healing. The division and hatred that have rent our country asunder have many of us in grief. And all of us looking for answers to how to get beyond this place that we seem to find ourselves in. And I firmly believe, as a Christian, as a follower of the Lord Jesus, that the cross is the answer. He offered himself because he willed it. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Eternal Father, went like a lamb to the slaughter to die in our place. He used his freedom, the same freedom that he gives to us, his children, not for revenge, not for settling scores, not for turning words into pretext for violence, but to intercede for the world and show that love conquers even death itself. As Americans, we have always had the highest respect for freedom. We know that freedom is not free. Jesus knew that when he went to the cross. The price of freedom was then and is now sacrifice. But as St. John Paul II reminded us, freedom consists not in doing what we like, but in having the right to do what we ought. Now, I'm going to say something that many of you will disagree with, and that is your right in this country. But I feel compelled to issue a prophetic warning to all of us. As long as Americans prize freedom apart from virtue, justice, common sense, truth, and respect for the dignity of all human life, this republic will end in our lifetime. Jesus went to the cross in freedom to liberate us from hatred, violence, unjust discrimination, and oppression. Whenever we abuse our freedom to, in any shape or form, cast a blind eye or willingly participate in those evils that God sent his Son to snatch us from, we scandalize the very cross of Christ and betray the mission of the just and sinless one. if we dare to call ourselves Christian, the way we fight evil is by sacrificing ourselves in compassion, raising high above the fray of today's battles the standard and ensign of faith, hope, and love. After Mass today, we will process to the St. Joseph's Workshop to say some of the most ancient prayers that exist to bless the cross that will be raised on high in short order. The family who gave the cross has made a beautiful decision to keep the person in whose memory and honor the cross is given hidden in the glory of the resurrection. An incredible woman who was and is very loved, and who I counted as a great friend, whose faith, like that of St. Helena, was steadfast and filled with miracles, and given by a husband whose love for her was one of the most touching things I ever got to experience in my life. A gift conceived in love, born in love, and which will continue to give love until Jesus comes back in glory. The cross with the 8 points of the Beatitudes which govern our lives as Christians, atop the orb, the sphere of the world, the place of our mission and the dominion of the Prince of Peace. The style is Armenian, a nod at Turkey, our mission land. The manufacture is Spanish, and the installation, 100% American. As we bless and raise the cross over Taylor's this week, I know that so many of you are carrying a lot of crosses right now. Grief, poverty, anxiety, depression, illness, loss, doubt, fear, rage, apathy. There are so many crosses from the past, the present, and the future. I want you, after Mass today, to walk with me, to go on a mini pilgrimage to a small slice of Jerusalem made present to us once again in a workshop dedicated to St. Joseph. And I want you to lay your crosses at the foot of the great rood, which you will get to see raised from the earth to blaze and shine in glory, even in the darkest night, so that every time you come to this place, you will be filled with hope and know that God is truly in this place.